This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app, and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hoffman, as we're going to hear from Royals general manager J.J. Piccolo and manager Matt Quatrero as they wrap up the 2025 season and look ahead to next year.
And move on from here. So I just want to say that.
J.J., would you be able to go through kind of what your priorities are this offseason, what you're looking to, how to improve the roster, how you evaluate, you know, different parts of the season that maybe didn't go the way you wanted it to?
Yeah, I mean, I think the positive we can talk about is pitching. I mean, the pitching was consistent all year, considering all the different injuries we had, the challenges we had. I think in the end, we were top 10 starting pitching, top 10 bullpen. So that's quite an accomplishment. Really appreciate the way those pitchers stepped up. Guys that weren't in our organization have done a tremendous job in helping us maintain a chance to win. And then we got to look at, you know, our roster from an offensive standpoint. What are the things we need to do to improve? There's a certain type of game that we need to play, and it's a complete game. It's not just about slug. It's about getting on base. It's about running bases. It's about executing at the right time. We have four guys that are, I thought, had exceptional years. Pretty amazing what Salvi's doing, what Bobby's doing. Mikel came into his own. And 2 years in a row now, Vinny's had a tremendous year. I mean, he's a performer. So how do we take the other nine guys and how do we get the most out of them? And there's a lot of different ways. And there's a certain type of game that we need to play until we don't need to play that game. You know, if we're going to score 8 or 9 runs a night because we're hitting, you don't have to play that type of game, but there's other ways to win games, and we got to figure out how to do that.
Just for both of you, how do you evaluate your coaching staff, and do you foresee everybody coming back in 2026?
Yeah, so we've got to, for most of our staff's going to be coming back. We've got to make some decisions on the hitting side. What I will say is Alec Zumwalt's going to be our hitting coach. How do we support Alec in a way that allows him to have the most success with the roster that we have? Those decisions haven't been made yet, and we still have to work through that. It might just be tweaking our staff. How do we tweak the staff? What don't we have? What can we do from an analyst standpoint, from a, you know, holistic standpoint to try to help our offense improve? We have a lot of belief in what Alec has done in the minor leagues and how he's led the minor league department now in the major leagues. Guys have gotten better. You know, there are guys that have improved. Mentioned the four guys, and I don't think we can ignore that. I think the big criticism this year on the hitting side was runners in scoring position. But if you break down, you know, what we did in the second half of this year, it was pretty good. I mean, it was in the top 10 and might have been in some ways in the top 5. And then when I look at the last 2 years, or we look at the last 2 years, you know, 75% of the last 2 years, we've done a good job with situational hitting and scoring runs. So we can't ignore those things. It hurt us in the beginning of the year. So that's why we've got to go look at our processes and how we're going to enhance what we can do and what we're capable of.
As far as the coaching staff, these guys are grinders. It's just they have the same mentality as the players. they put a tremendous amount of preparation, a tremendous amount of work. They care about the players, which is priority number one for us. You know, they're not in this in any aspect, whether we're talking about hitting, pitching, catching, whatever area you want to talk about. These guys, their number one priority is making the players the best they can be. It's not about their names or promoting themselves. So that, to me, is really important. And I love coming to work with these guys every day because I know when we show up, it's going to be a consistent attitude. It's going to be a consistent effort. And they're constantly, like JJ said, trying to find ways to get better through the processes.
JJ, you may have sort of answered this in the very question you just answered, but I mean, when you said learn from it, what particular thing is going to stand out to you from this season? And I'll have a follow-up from Matt.
Well, there's a lot of different ways to answer that. When we look at how our offense performed last year versus this year, it's very similar in a lot of categories. The only thing we didn't do, which is the most important thing, is score runs. We scored 84 less runs this year than we did last year. But if you look at our slugging percentage, our on-base percentage, our home runs were down 10 or 11, but our doubles were up quite a bit. You know, overall, as individuals, we were very similar, but why didn't the offense function as a whole? So how do we help that? What can we do? The base running, you know, clearly we made too many unforced errors this year. When we get a guy on second base and there's no outs for a team like our team, we got to score that run. We got to get him over and get him in. You know, the nights that we hit the three-run homers, they're easy. There's a lot less for him to do when we're hitting three-run homers. But when we get a guy on second base for the type of game that we need to play, the way our roster is constructed, we have to improve our ability to get those runs in. Be opportunistic when you have a chance to score. Now, that being said, it's easier said than done. You know, this is the same group of players for the most part that did execute last year, and we just didn't do it to the same level in 25.
Matt, just last year, I remember you being really struck by the feeling of how far you went, but not being satisfied, hearing from friends about how much you've done, wanting to go more. What's going to be your overriding feeling coming out of this?
Well, I don't think it's just one feeling. You know, I mean, like, I have a tremendous amount of pride and gratitude for being in this position and being able to lead this team. And a tremendous amount of pride in what we did do as a, you know, behind the scenes with the coaching staff, the camaraderie, the challenging each other, trying to get better. Like, there's a tremendous amount of pride in that. There's also a tremendous amount of disappointment in the fact that we're not playing because we believe in ourselves. Our internal expectations are extremely high, not only for winning and losing games, but in how we perform, you know, process-wise, decision-making, all those kinds of things. And all of those areas need to be improved. And I think that's one of the things that I really believe in strongly is that there isn't one thing that you hit the button and say, all right, we fixed this and now we go on to win 100 games. We have to try to make tiny little incremental improvements in a ton of different areas. And some of those are hard to find because you believe in the process that you've already established. And sometimes it takes a long time to figure out, okay, what is the thing that we have to tweak here, right? And it's not a wholesale change. It's a little thing. It could be the way a message is delivered. Could be the one day that you give the guys that day off their feet because you sense that they need a little blow, whatever it is. Like, there's a million different decisions that go into a baseball season, probably more than a million different decisions that go into a baseball season, and figuring out the right sequence of when those tweaks and adjustments have to be made, that's the challenge. That's the art of it.
JJ, how soon are the conversations being had with Salvador Perez as far as his club option or potential extensions, if that is something you guys come to?
Yeah, we've already started those discussions. Obviously, there's an option that we can pick up, so I think it's safe to say that one way or another, Salvi will be in a Royals uniform in 26. What we do beyond that still to be determined, but there are some things we still need to work through and talk about.
Just, you mentioned the offensive performances from a catcher, a third baseman, shortstop, first baseman. When you look at the outfield, Do you think making an improvement there will come internally, or do you think maybe there's a chance you'll bring someone from the outside?
Yeah, I think we got to look at all angles. You know, we brought Cags up this year, you know, expected to get a boost there. You know, he was killing AAA, you know, doing everything he needed to do as a player to get that promotion. And the next step for him was to be in the major leagues. Didn't go as we would have liked it to have gone. But we got to remind ourselves he's one of the best players in baseball. He was probably on his way to being minor league player of the year. There's a strong belief that he's going to be an outstanding major league player. The difficult thing with Cags right now is that he's beat AAA. I mean, even when he went back after his injury, he didn't miss a beat. He's beat AAA. So he's going to have to do a lot of his learning in the major leagues, but it doesn't take away from the upside, the talent, and what he's going to do. That being said, there's going to be competition. You know, we do feel like we're in a window to win with the players that we have in place. So the expectations are high. Our standards are high. So it's not going to be anything, a job that's given to him. He's going to have to earn it. But it doesn't take away from what we believe in him as a player. Kyle Isbell did a really good job this year. He's one of our more improved offensive players, and we know what he can do defensively. And then how do we figure out, you know, what our options are going to be in left field? We saw a little bit of what a platoon can do for us when we had Yaz, who of course is a free agent, and Grichik's a free agent. They both did admirable jobs for us. That might be a way that we go as well. I mean, we're going to get in meetings with our pro scouting staff here in the coming weeks and try to assess what's available. How do we improve the roster? But I know the outfield production's got to be better. You know, we got to play good defense, but we got to produce as well.
Last year, going in the offseason, you talked about how you wanted to get another bat in the outfield, and it just didn't work out.
Yep.
Is that the same goal, though?
Yeah, I mean, we want to improve the roster any way we can. I mean, that's the more obvious area to try to improve. But, yeah, that goal exists again this year.
AJ, when you talk about the hitting staff, the hitting coaching staff, I mean, you know, if you want to improve the lineup but not change that aspect, what does need to change for you guys to be more productive offensively?
Yeah, I think when we look at our coaching staff, you want balance, different skill sets, different abilities that can work well together. It's not to say that these guys don't work well together. They do. They do work well. But we feel like if we're able to maybe tweak it somehow, it might be making a change. It might be adding something. Might be adding another person who has a different skill set. But we spent a lot of time last week on the road talking about these things, and we don't have a clear answer to that just yet. But when we look at how we want to remake staffs, what are we missing? You know, and what can we add, and how can we enhance so the guys that we have can do their job even better? But we know it's not lack of effort, lack of thought, preparation. You talk to every one of our hitters. They firmly believe in what we're doing from an offensive standpoint. And you all talk to them throughout the year. They're accountable as hitters, and they're not pointing fingers at our coaches. So what can we do to just enhance what they're already capable of doing?
Can you give people a sense? I'm sure it doesn't surprise you when you guys weren't hitting the first half of the season that Alex's name came up a lot. Can you give people a sense of the value that he does bring and what you do see out of the processes that you're talking about?
Yeah, I mean, he's a tireless worker, which, as Q said, they all are tireless workers. His creativity, his game planning, his relationship building abilities all really stand out. When you think about, you know, let's just use Bobby and Mike Kell as examples. When they first set foot in this organization, Alec was our hitting coordinator. He's grown with them throughout the last 6-7 years. For some of those guys, he's the only hitting coach that they've really known, have worked together. So there's a strong trust in what he does and what he brings. So, you know, part of being a good coach is building relationships. If you can't build relationships, then you don't have trust. So Alec, I know, has the trust of our hitters, and he's passionate. And then you talk about going into the other things, you know, game planning, swing mechanics, creativity, desire to win, you know, all those things are there with Alec. He represents it well.
Last Last one. You mentioned in your opener that you guys offensively have to play a certain type of game. Just wondering if you could expand on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's situational baseball. I mean, we're clearly not a team that's going to bang, you know, 250 homers a year. That's not who we are. We have Vinny and Salvi that's set in the middle of our lineup. Around that, we need to be athletic in the field, athletic on the bases. We also have to mature as hitters. Certain situations I don't think we necessarily reacted to the way we should. So how do you put hitters in the right mindset so they can execute? We did have a lot of guys. I think we had eight, if I'm not mistaken, make their debuts this year, a handful of which were hitters. Their first thought is, I got to bang to stay up here. And that's not really what they need to do. They need to do exactly what they did in the minor leagues, and that's execution with the ability to hit. Nobody's going to get here if they can't hit. They got to have the ability to hit, but they also have to have the ability to execute to work within our offense. We're more of an action-type offense. You know, that's what we have to rely on. So running the bases, hitting behind a runner, hitting a sack fly or a ground ball when necessary. We don't strike out. I mean, that's one thing, but we also have to look at that. Is that good or bad? Is that getting us where we want to go? Generally speaking, not striking out's good. But if you're making early outs and weak contact, then we have to adjust that. There may be a little give and take there. But when we think about our identity, pitching, defense, situational hitting, and base running, that's what we take a lot of pride in. We just didn't execute it to that level this year, to be in the playoffs. You're winning record, but not in the playoffs. Our goal is to be in the playoffs and win a World Series. So with a roster similar to what we have, all of those things got to go right for us to win a World Series.
You guys made some moves near the end, brought more pitching in. You said after those moves, you can't have enough of it, right? You're going to get some guys back from injury, maybe too many starting pitchers next year. I don't know. I mean, what do you like about the options you guys have to start out next year with the people who should be coming back, injury and the new faces?
Well, I'll talk about just the advantage of having depth. With depth, you're protecting yourself, number one, but then you also may have assets that other teams are interested in. You know, we don't know if that's going to be the case or not, but if that's the case, we know we have the depth to deal from our starting pitching. No different than trading Freddie Fermin. Part of why we traded Freddie Fermin was he added starting pitching to us, and we knew we had Carter Jensen and others behind him. So when you have a position of depth, it could be something you utilize to help in other areas. Then the obvious is just the injuries. I remember sitting with a lot of you in May talking about Kyle Wright and Alec Marsh and what are we going to do? Well, it never happened because injuries are part of this game. So going into the season with eight or nine starting pitchers that are currently on the roster is a good problem to have. So we can, you know, feel good about that. It's going to be some tough calls come spring training. If everybody stays healthy, there's going to be some tough calls who our five are.
Couple questions. First of all, payroll. Do you have a firm number or a ballpark on where you're going to be payroll?
Not a firm number, but I think where we're operating right now is plenty. You know, I think we're in a good spot. Mr. Sherman has shown the willingness to do what we need to do if it puts us over the top. I think a great example of that was adding Carlos Estevez when we did late in the year. That certainly paid off. It's a small price to pay for what you hope to be a big reward at the end. But right now, I think we're going to operate just as we are. We're in that 140-ish range. We got to make that work. And if there's something that we can capitalize on later in the offseason that makes us marginally better, then we'll try to do it. But we're pretty comfortable with where we are. And from a front office perspective, it's our responsibility to make that work.
From a free agency standpoint, it seems like it's not, you know, it's kind of evolved that a lot of the good talent doesn't get out there. And you either have an enormous contract you got to take on, or you're maybe looking at leftovers. Is it more incumbent upon you to be able to trade for the things you need as opposed to just signing guys in this climate?
Yeah, I think when you look at some of the free agents to be, I mean, there's going to be some heavy price tags out there, and the supply and demand may not match up. So, which makes it a little bit more difficult to meet those asking prices. So we do have to think about all avenues, which the next one would be trade. You know, we do have to think about that. And I like to think we haven't shown like an unwillingness to do that. I think we've made some moves along the way that have helped us. So that is an avenue we have to explore. I think once we get into the off season, dust settles early November, we'll have a more clear picture of what other teams may be doing and who they may be willing to trade. If it's not there, then you dive into free agency again and try to figure out how you can make your team marginally better if it's not a big name. So we just have to explore all of those different ways to make the team better.
Matt, I know the record, you weren't quite as good this year, you know, compared to last year, but you had a lot more injuries. You had a lot more adversity you had to deal with. You know, not the record-wise, but just as the club. Do you feel that the club's progressed and is better this year as far as the core of what you have looking ahead? It's the same, worse?
I mean, I'm disappointed. I mean, I think, you know, we say this all the time. We come into every night trying to win, right? And we didn't win enough. So I think that's on us, like we're talking about. There's a lot of different reasons for that. I'm not a subscriber to talk about the injuries or the adversity. Every team deals with it, whether it's health, underperformance. There's all kinds of adversity, and I think that's a very overused term. This is a long season that, like I said, you have a million different things have to go your way to win the last game of the year. Didn't happen for us. Some of that's on our performance. Some of it's on other factors that are out of your control. And there's a tremendous amount of randomness to this game in how you acquire players. Some things that you think you have locked up don't go your way. Sometimes you think you have a slam dunk decision made in a game that doesn't go your way. Other times you might not have your high leverage relievers available that night, and other guys step up and we win the game. So there's a lot of things that go into it, but overall I would say, are we better? I think we're better from our processes. We weren't better from a wins and losses standpoint. So that's what we're judged on ultimately. And so, no, I would say we took a step back.
Last one, JJ, you mentioned kind of the plan with Salvi. Mike Yastrzemski obviously was a big boost for you guys. You know, do you have a plan on approaching him and whether or not he would be back?
Yeah, not a definitive plan, but he's a player of interest. I mean, he did a tremendous job on the field, offensively, defensively, but we talk about this maybe a little too much, but he had influence in our clubhouse. You know, there's a level of maturity that he brought to that batting cage every day, and then you watch the way he operated in the batter's box. You know, that's what a mature hitter looks like. You know, and it's not just Yaz, but over the last 2 years, we've added players of similar experience, and you can see that experience pays off. They're very confident in what they do and how they approach each at bat and recognize situations. So he is a player of interest for sure. We just have to see how that all shakes out, but he was a great clubhouse fit. From what I could tell and what he shared with me, enjoyed being here, which is always nice to hear because you know you're in the game if that's the way you're going to go.
JJ, speaking of that, with Yaz and the impact that Frazier made, Luke Maley, not only production but with their voice, maybe that wasn't there in April. Does that need to be is that a priority this offseason?
Yeah, it stands out. I mean, when we made the decision to go get Frazier back, you know, we knew what we were getting from a leadership standpoint. He was playing really good with Pittsburgh. He played well with us. But, you know, we felt like with feedback from the players, coaches, where that was something we were missing. So it definitely needs to be on our, I'll say, to-do list this offseason, having people like Yaz, like Frazier, like Grichuk, Maley, you know, in the clubhouse, because there's a level of comfort that they bring. There's a sense of calmness that they have that every team needs. You know, last year we experienced the ups and downs late with those, you know, losing streaks we went through. It was those types of players that kept things in perspective. I think we need that to be part of our roster building plan. And then you want, obviously, the positionality of it. You know, how do you make it all work? Right-handed, left-handed, infield, outfield. But to answer your question, yes, that'll be part of our desires to put that roster together with veteran guys.
JJ, for you, just more on the pitching staff and just the evaluation of what you have when you do have a lot of guys who did start. And does team control have a lot to do with that, with the players that you acquired? And also in the back end with the bullpen, just how would you assess that? Carlos had a great year, obviously, with the saves leader in the league, but the other guys, how would you assess those?
Yeah, on the surface, years of control do matter. I mean, when we're looking to acquire a player, that always stands out. But what we can't control is what the other team thinks or what their evaluations are of your players. So, you know, whether or not there's a match there, it's hard to tell. But years of control would matter, you would think, from an acquiring team standpoint. And who do they have and who do they like that we can work a deal out? From a bullpen perspective, Carlos did a tremendous job. And I think Lucas did a great job. You know, he dealt with some injuries this year. You know, I don't know, once he hurt his back, I don't know if he was ever really 100%. You know, he wasn't putting himself in harm's way by going to compete. Not having Hunter Harvey, I think early on, those first 2 weeks, you know, we felt like, man, this could be really special, that back end of the bullpen. So when we think about bullpen construction, knowing having three guys at the end that have power, that have some experience, will be a goal of ours. But I don't want to take away from anything the rest of the guys did. I mean, they performed really well. I don't remember going through a point of the season where, like, our bullpen was falling apart. You know, whether it was Daniel Lynn, John Helzerpa, John Schreiber, and John Boland came up and did a great job. So they all filled in very well. But we all know in this game, when that back end is a lockdown bullpen, you're going to secure 3-2 wins and 4-3 wins. And we play in a lot of one-run games. I think we played in, if I'm not mistaken, 73 games that were two runs or less. So we're going to be in a lot of tight games. And when that bullpen is locked down in the back end, you're going to come out on the positive end of it if you're up a run.
Q, for you, just the consistency of the team had ebbs and flows, obviously, throughout the course of the season. You know, you have a good April, May, June goes down, but then early August you build up and September goes down again. How do you make sure that you maintain some consistency throughout the season? Because we've seen a team like Cleveland just make a big surge in September. And I know you got to be watching that, think to yourself, like, that could have been us maybe. How do you try to keep that consistency through the season and make sure that you don't have that swing down?
Well, I like your question about consistency, but that's not consistency. The surges that they had, because they had 10-game losing streaks, 10-game winning streaks. But ultimately, they won way more, you know, four or five more games than us. So I think the one thing our guys did was be consistent. They grinded it out. We just never hit that one streak. But you know, I've heard multiple times, like, oh, that was a terrible loss. Like, how do you rebound? Well, you come back the next day and you don't show up in the fetal position and you go out there and try to kick somebody's butt. And that's what these guys did every single day. The effort level, the intensity, the preparation. And I think that's what you can hang your hat on with this group of guys this year, was that they never packed it in. I mean, you saw we hit some stretches there where we needed to win some games and we didn't, and they came back the next day and won. It just, that's a tremendous characteristic to build on, is that fortitude. So I think what we need to find is how to be cohesive enough to not have the 3-game losing streak when we know we need to win that night, those kinds of things. And that's on me to figure out the way to either manage that game differently and press for that one run, or, you know, whether that's a bullpen move or not a bullpen move. You know, again, there's a million different things that go into these. It's not like a, hey, we have the ball, we're going to run this play and we'll win because we do that. You have to be reactive in a lot of situations in baseball and understand that maybe it's a game management thing on my part. Maybe it's a behind-the-scenes thing of who plays that night or who gets a night off. So I think we're trying to find that cohesiveness and the way to keep the energy to sustain some more of those winning streaks that we need to really get ahead.
JJ, I just want to get your thoughts on the seasons that, you know, Cameron, Carter Jensen, different sample sizes, obviously, the seasons they had, and also how cool it is to see guys like that from the area kind of rise up through the ranks.
Yeah, it's always cool for any player to play in their hometown and play in front of their family and friends, and to perform the way those two guys did, it was really impressive, especially you look at Noah. I mean, pretty much over the course of the season, I'll speak for myself. I kept waiting for the hiccup. It never came. You know, it seemed like he got better and better. What stood out with him was he'd have games where he'd give up some runs early, but he'd still be in there in the sixth inning. And that's like a sign of a very mature pitcher. So being a rookie and being able to do that is really impressive.
And he ended, his ERA was under three. I mean, it's pretty good. And then with Carter, you know, it's a small sample, but it was really, I think, our fans and our coaches who weren't as familiar with him got a chance to see what he's all about. It's about good plate appearances, making good decisions on what pitches to swing at or not swing at, not trying to do too much. You saw him hit the ball the other way a lot, you know, the opposite field, which is a sign of a complete hitter. And then what he did, he got good experience at the end of the year catching some of our guys. That's always the challenge for a young catcher. You have to take care of the pitchers first and not worry as much about your offense. But when you're a good offensive player, it's hard to balance that. But at least the early indications where he did his work, he got with the pitchers, he called great. He followed the game plan. So there's a lot of positives with Carter, and certainly has a bright future.
And then, Matt, what was kind of your parting message maybe to the guys heading into the offseason?
Yeah, I just thanked them. I have a tremendous amount of gratitude for the way they go about it. You know, I think one thing I really appreciate is the guys that post up every day, you know, and we've talked about a lot of those guys. You know, we've mentioned Salvi and Bobby and Vinny and those guys and Michael. But, you know, the unsung heroes, the Schreibers and Zerpas that take the ball every time they're asked. You know, Esty obviously was there the whole time. You know, I think that goes even India. You know, a guy like that played through a ton of injuries this year. The guys that understand what it means to be a great teammate, I have a lot of admiration for them and respect, and I know how hard this game is to play, and I think that's generally what my message is to them, is to appreciate the effort and just be ready to have a lot of conversations throughout the winter about how we're going to make this better.
Reggie, what's the desire propensity to talk to some of your younger guys about extensions, especially some of the guys going into arbitration this year?
Yeah, that's always going to be on the table for us. You know, I think we have some good candidates for it, but like most cases, there's got to be a willingness on both sides. It's definitely something we want to explore and see where they may be. You know, there's more positives than negatives, but it depends on what the goals of that player are and length of contract and all those things, because we have to not only think about right now, if we're going to sustain any level of winning over a long period of time, you know, you got to live in the now, but you also got to live in the future. So there are things that we would have to evaluate, but a lot of it starts with really the player's desire to be here and what type of extension are they looking at. So we will be talking about those.
Q, you mentioned managing with like expectations of wanting to make the postseason this year. How do you think the players kind of handle those expectations throughout the ebbs and flow of the season? How can that help them moving into 2026?
How did they handle
like the ebbs and flows of like the expectations of, you know, trying to make the playoffs and, you know, going through those lows and then bouncing back from it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they come in and say, okay, here's our external expectation, we need to live up to this, because it's far more granular. And I'm gonna probably say the same thing I said to you all year, like they tried to conquer today, right? They tried to win their early work, they tried to win their BP, they tried to win the first pitch of the game, and that's how they go about it. So if they were worried about external expectations, then I didn't see that. I think it was more about how do we win right now, and those didn't add up to enough wins at the end of the day to get into the postseason. But I think they were fine. They didn't come into it, you know, with some sort of they weren't chasing somebody else's expectations more than their own.
Is getting the ball in the air something Jack is going to be able to address this offseason, and something you want him to address?
Talking about his ground ball rate,
right?
Yeah, I mean, that's always been there with Jack. You know, I think when he does get in the air, we see good things happen. But, yeah, there certainly will be, I don't even want to say adjustments, but trying to address that and how he does it. And a lot of that just comes down to pitch selection. You know, I mean, depending on what pitches he's swinging at, pitchers are trying to get him to hit the ball on the ground. They don't want him to hit the ball in the air. So how does he adjust to what the pitcher's trying to do to him will have a greater effect on how many balls he gets in the air.
Question for each. First, Matt, you mentioned India earlier. Ideally, when he's healthy, where would you like him in the lineup? Where would you like him defensively? And JJ, how would you assess the Singer for India trade? Yeah.
So I'm not a huge believer in you have to have a guy in a certain spot in the lineup, because I think the other eight guys that are playing that day dictate the best balance and handedness, types of at-bats guys take. But Jonathan has shown an ability to be a top-of-the-order guy because of his on-base percentage. I think he was completely understanding and comfortable moving down in the lineup, too, when we had a different construction there, handedness-wise, when Yaz came and all those things. So I think he's a quality major league hitter that fits anywhere in the lineup. That's how I'd answer that. Defensively, I think he is best suited at second base. We asked a lot of him early in the year to try to play not only one new position, but two. And that was challenging. And I think, if there was one other one, I think it would be third, but Mikel's pretty good over at third. So I think Jonathan, healthy Jonathan India is best suited at second base, and where he hits in the lineup is not as important to me.
Well, assessing the trade, I think it was a good trade for both teams, because at the time you're trying to address what your needs are. They needed starting pitching. We needed, in this case, it was a leadoff hitter, where we were trying to make something fit positionally, which just didn't work out the way we expected it to. John still got on base, maybe not at the rate that he had it previously in his career. Q talked about his injuries, so he dealt with some things. But, when you look back on a trade, I mean, two players with 2 years of control with two teams that were striving for the same thing. We had made the playoffs. They didn't. They're in the playoffs this year. We're not. So I think it's just one of those trades. You do it in the moment because you believe that's what you need to do. And, I think it's easy now to look back and say we should or shouldn't have. But I will say if we had to do it all over again, we'd make that trade given the moment we were in at the time.
Did you wonder if you could just assess what you envision the rotation going into spring training, and also as part of that, if you could address, you guys that were banged up. I know Cole came back, but Seth and Chris, and just where they'll be.
Well, I think the three guys that Cole obviously Cy Young Award vote getter, Seth last year, Waka. I mean, those three. I think they're in our rotation. We saw how much Cole Reagans can change a game for us in the last three starts. I mean, it's dominant type stuff. Chris Bubich being an all-star this year, it's hard to ignore him and say he's fighting for a spot. But then you get Noah Cameron, Ryan Berger, Stephen Kolick. We have hopes for Luender Avila, to compete for that spot. So there's a lot of depth. How it works out at the end. Falter. Yeah, thank you. Bailey Falter. So there's a lot of depth there. How it's going to shake out, I really don't know. But we certainly know what those top three guys represent. So there's competition for those last two spots.
Matt, I asked JJ about this, but just as the manager, I mean, how do you envision the offense? Like, what was the path to scoring more runs?
Yeah, I think JJ did a good job of talking about it. It's not just hitting, right? And I think I take a tremendous amount of responsibility for trying to find the right times for not the Bobbies and Mikels and Tolberts of base stealing, but the mid-range runners that we can get the extra 90 feet. I take responsibility for not doing a good job of that this year. Understanding that we have to be the best team in the league going first to third or scoring on singles. And that's a mindset thing. And we addressed it spring training. We continue to address it during the season, but again, sometimes the opportunity is with the wrong base runner, the guy that has a tough time doing that. Or, again, my job is to start the runner at the right time where the guy puts the ball in play and we end up going first to third or scoring on the double. So I think there's emphasis on hitting, clearly, to stay in the moment and understand what those situations are and do a better job of executing when called upon. But also in playing a more holistic game and understanding how we're going to put more pressure on guys. And, certainly not from lack of desire this year. It was lack of timing on my part or on, some things that guys froze in the moment. And those are hard to predict when that's going to happen.
JJ, just lastly, I mean, you've been here for a long time. What is you think the long-term effect of having back-to-back years of going 500, just as you look at this, is, you know, not trying to have these peaks and valleys, but having some?
Yeah, no, that's the goal. I mean, that's what we're trying to do, sustain winning over a long period of time. So while we're not playing in playoffs this year, I think it's something to build off of. Q knows. I mean, the last couple of weeks, every night, I'm like, we got to keep pushing. We got to keep pushing. Like, we need to have a winning season. Winning on Sunday, it wasn't like the ultimate goal, but I was really proud that we went out and played the way we did on Sunday to finish with a winning record, because we know there's not a big difference between an 80 and 82 win team, like the talent, the execution, whatever happened, and an 82 and 80 win team. But at least we can hold our heads high and walk into next year thinking about, how do we get better? How do we build on this? So it's two winning seasons in a row. And we believe it's the start of many winning seasons in a row. I think we're all going to come back to a, I don't want to say there was a not motivation, but a more motivated group, because we didn't make the playoffs. There's going to be more of a chip on their shoulders to prove that they belong in the playoffs. I don't think these guys are real happy that we're 80 and 82. Like, that's not what they're talking more about, not making the playoffs. But historically speaking, there are things we need to do. You win more games and you lose, then you have your years where you spike. Consistency is the ultimate goal for this organization. I will say this, you know, in September, we were still playing meaningful games. And that, I hope, means something to the city and to our fans, that they had something to still grab onto and some sort of hope that we can pull this thing off. Now we just got to keep building on and doing it every year.
Could you feel that on Sunday? I mean, that's obviously not the meaning of the game that they exactly wanted, but could you feel that?
I never lost that feeling from these guys, you know. And I'll tell you, behind the scenes thing, when we were officially eliminated, so that it happened right before the game on Tuesday in Anaheim. So I had gone to the guys and said, how do you want to play this out? They looked at me like I was nuts. We're playing every day. All those guys wanted to play every day. Salvi, Vinny, Bobby, Michael, Yaz, Izzy had already gotten hurt, India. They wanted to play. They have a tremendous amount of pride in what they do as professionals. They have a tremendous amount of pride for this organization and for the city, as do we, obviously. And like JJ said, the difference in one win or two wins, if you're not making the playoffs, that's not where we're hanging our hat. But on the professionalism and the desire. I mean, you go out there in that game Sunday and Yaz is stealing bases. I mean, he's going to get a lot of kudos for the home runs, right? But he's stealing bases and, you know, trying to make a difference in getting one run. And you look at a guy like Daniel Lynch, came into a game with the bases loaded against Kurtz. He hasn't pitched in 8 days. He comes in there and executes three sliders to strike out one of the better hitters in the game this year. And the mood in the dugout was exactly the same as it had been in any game the rest of the year. They were trying to win. We were trying to execute. And I think that's what, to answer, you know, Jalen's question from earlier, is what their standards are for themselves. And that's what gives me the belief that this is a winning team. This team won more than it lost, but this is a winning culture and a winning environment that they have that amount of pride in what they do.
We have two more.
JJ, can you give us an update on the just kind of what the plan will be in the offseason for Lugo, Berger, Bubich, Marsh, or Seg, all the guys that are down? Is there any
expecting
any major surgery? Do you expect everybody to be ready?
The only one that may potentially be having surgery is Marsh. You know, so we're trying to figure out where that's going. But the rest of them, we expect full return beginning of spring training. I think some of them might even be pitching in WBC. So we're going into the season feeling pretty good about our health, with the one exception, trying to figure out where.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Marsh is going to be at the start of the year.
Everybody.
All right, so that was Matt Quatrero and JJ Piccolo last 43 minutes or so, wrapping up the 25 season, heading into 26. Tons to react to. We'll try to do some of that today and throughout the week as well. I'll start with what I have seen has gotten the most attention, at least on
social media
and the text line, and it is JJ Piccolo, because it was so early in the presser. I'll play you the cut. This was Piccolo talking about any staff changes. Well, I was going to play the cut. It's there. I don't know why it now has zero next to it, Drew, on that. The Zumwalt one, if we can reset that one, let's see.
What I will say is Alec Zumwalt's going to be our hitting coach. How do we support Alec in a way that allows him to have the most success with the roster that we have? Those decisions haven't been made yet, and we still have to work through that.
So Alec Zumwalt will be back as one of the hitting coaches for this team.
Sounds like they might change some of the other hitting coaches.
I want to see what the other tweak is. Is it, you know, removing one of the other hitting coaches, reassigning, bringing in somebody new? I do want to see the full picture before everybody goes nuts. However, you know my feeling on this. We did our offseason wish list at 10:15. What was the first thing on my list?
You said to get rid of Alec
Zumwalt. Not that I want somebody fired. I don't hope personally that anybody loses their job, okay? But I don't believe the results have been there for him to retain his job. I think that's somewhat of a mistake. This is where I think JJ Piccolo is a great general manager. I just disagree on this particular decision. I want to see the full picture, though, of what the hitting staff looks like moving forward. But Alec Zumwalt still staying on as the hitting coach concerns me. Yes.
It's like you got to find, and this is what they're obviously going to work on. They're probably going to try to find some individual people to work on the guys who need help. Because to their point in Alec Zumwalt and the minor leagues and all that stuff, he's giving Alec Zumwalt a lot of credit for the guys who came up under him in the minors. Bobby Wood Jr., Vinny Pasquantino, Mikel Garcia, etc. And the guys who have excelled in the majors, including Mikel Garcia this year, at that level. So maybe when they look for hitting coaches to go opposite him this offseason, they're going to find a guy to work with Cags specifically, because as of right now, that looks like a guy who's going to need some help this offseason working on some swing changes. Look, I'm not in love with it. But I'm also just like, at the end, that's not going to be the bigger swing for whether they make the postseason or not. I do think that they're...
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know if I agree with that. I mean, I think it's part of the equation. I mean, I'm not saying like it means automatically there's no way they can make the playoffs now if he stays on. That's not what I'm saying either. However, I think if we acknowledge the offensive issues, you know, kind of that's why I want to see the full picture, because they're not going status quo, but we also don't know what the change is. And so is that why would you believe that it's going to be different for developing some of these guys?
Weirdly enough, the thing that bothered me more in any of the stuff that he said, because most of it I agree with, right? Like, I like the idea of like winning consistently is where we're trying to be as an organization. Some years you still come up short of the postseason, but we are trying to put a consistent contender on the baseball field. This year's team did do that. It came up short of expectation, but it did do that. I don't like that they still talk of the old days of he listed their offensive principles, the things that are at their core, the things that they strive to be offensively, and did not mention homers once. And you're like, in 2025, this is where...
Yeah, he did talk about home runs.
Later he did. In the initial like core values of the offense, he didn't discuss it. Here's where initially, this is part of my issue with the way they're constructed from a power hitting perspective and why they do occasionally need a guy who's going to be 40 or 50 home runs like any team does, is when you start looking at what happened to this year's offense team wise, very similar to last year's offense team wise. Last year's offense was league average. This was near the bottom. The final 81 games of this year, the Royals were actually the eighth best runs per game offense. Yeah. You immediately start getting defensive. I don't mean it in a way like problem solved.
Because we've heard this the back end of the season stuff every time.
But I'm not pitching this as like the offense is fixed for next year. What I'm saying is what they have to diagnose is the problem they have is why is your offense not incapable of scoring runs? Why is it so wildly inconsistent at scoring runs? And the answer to that typically is homers. Put the ball over the fence. And those offensive woes come a lot less in between if Cags puts one over for three runs, Carter Jensen, Salvi, Vinny, whoever. If you consistently hit home runs, you are more likely to consistently score runs. And I still feel like that's part of their issue. Problem is they can't even get that in the offseason, man. How can they solve that, Gold? How can they just like, they're not picking up, they're not signing Pete Alonso this offseason. I don't think they're signing Kyle Schwarber. So like, unless they're going to find somebody who consistently hits the ball over the wall, I don't know that they can get that in a single offseason.
Yeah, I mean, the payroll stuff as well, people were commenting on as well. I didn't expect there to be much of a change there. That's the same philosophy, and I have no problem with that. They said they're going to be in that 140 range again, and if there's a move late in the offseason that causes them to go over and they think it's enough to be worth it, then they can, you know, potentially get some clearance from ownership on that. And they've done that the last couple of years. It's nice that we're not talking about the payroll stuff as much as we have in the past. I just think it's be very, very interesting.
Imagine if I can just spend $200 million, but that's going to happen.
I think it'll be very interesting though. The rest of the, what's the tweak look like on the hitting staff and overall what do they believe is actually going to change there? And someone say, hey, it's not just the hitting coaches. I know it's not, but if we're all acknowledging that that they may not be able to go find that solution externally,
they're gonna have to get better
from
internally,
a position player. Okay, guys get better. Hey, look, guys can get better and work in the offseason. Not saying that never happens. I'm just, do you believe you have the right people in place to do that? They believe at least Alex Zumwalt is part of the solution. That's their belief. And they believe there's other tweaks that can get there. I'm skeptical. We'll see how the rest of the offseason goes.
I'll just say his name's going to get brought up a bunch again if they go through the same circumstance, Gold, and they run into this issue.
April and May?
Yeah, they get a slow start to the offense again. We're going to be right back where they are because the offense, like somebody said, he's not going to get credit for the seventh best offense. I'm saying on aggregate, you can give him credit for all of it. But if you're going to say Alex Zumwalt gets credit for both first half and second half offense, well, they were one of the five worst offenses in baseball. So, like, I don't think you want to play the game of I only talk about Alex Zumwalt when they're hitting in the second half of the season. Because it is going to be hard to rep. Like, they were still one of, like, this is so annoying about this team this year. And not like in a negative, like, not in an overly negative way. I don't think they lack offensive talent. I think that's why you're more frustrated with Zumwalt. And I don't think that's unfair.
Yes.
Vinny, Bobby, Salvi, Michael, Carter Jensen, when he did, hell, maybe even what Cash can do one day. Like, they could hit a little bit. Like, they are not devoid of talented hitters. And it's like, why? What? Why? What is the, and look, I'm not saying I have the answer to that.
They're going to spend the entire
offseason figuring out. Why are we so wildly inconsistent? I can point to why they just call up any pitcher and they work. Well, that's Brian Sweeney in the pitching development. It's working. They're, and JJ's evaluation of pitching talent and other organizations, they got a system in place to make sure that when five starting pitchers go down, they don't struggle. Can they stop themselves from having a two-month slump offensively? That's what I'm trying to
think. I think
at
one point Q was asked about the, you know, for them, how do they find winning streaks too? Because the reality is to give yourself an opportunity where you're going to have some lulls in a baseball season. It's 162 games. Well, you got to have some winning streaks built in there as well. I think also the offensive answer, I think it was JJ was talking about, you know, yes, it's the slug and all that, but also they gave away so many outs on the base paths again this year. And so how does that change your run production too if you're not making some of the decisions that they made on the base pass? There were multiple times, especially in the first half of the season, while on the base pass, it was frankly unacceptable, costing yourself outs.
They were terrible
on the
base running.
That's that kind of stuff. Now that I actually believe is far more correctable, right? Like I think that is far more correctable, and that is to me on a player basis more than anything else. Like at some point you're in the big leagues, like you know,
don't sleepwalk on the bases, pay attention,
that kind of stuff. It's an off season coming off an 82 win season. You know, there's the balance of, you know, recognizing that this is a team that is, I don't think they're terribly far away by any means. Nope. I just think it concerns me. It's a little dangerous of, it feels a little bit of things are just going to go better for us. and, you know, like that we don't have to do a whole lot, but things are going to go better for us. We know where we have to get better, but we don't necessarily, you know, have to do a whole lot in terms of external things. And I hope that's right.
I don't disagree with you that that's certainly the way it's sounding right now. The one thing I will say is in the last 2 years, they had horrible starting pitching and they fixed it. They had horrible bullpen and they fixed it. So my hope is that if the weak link of the three, and in the last two off seasons, their biggest glaring weakness, they put some work in on and it got significantly better in a hurry. So my hope is that at least, and I understand, five or six of the probably nine starting spots are eaten up. Seven, maybe even, if you include like Kyle Isbell or a player, or like just the timeshare at second base between India and Massey. So like a huge chunk is. We're not talking about, it doesn't have to be major moves, but you can't just ignore it, and you can't just count on CAG. You can't just count on guys to get better. You're going to have players in place that if things go south in a hurry, you have other places to go.
All right, we're going to get a break in. Obviously, it's been a long hour here with JJ Piccolo and Matt Quatrero's press conferences. There's plenty more to react to. We'll do it throughout the week as well. We'll play back a few bits and pieces that were very interesting as well. We'll also get to what's trending. Of course, this normally would be when we would have the Chiefs Red Half Hour brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. But let's get to a little what's trending and All 32 next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth.
I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.